Lehrer on WNYC. And finally today, I hope it's not news to you that humans will one day be extinct. And the amount of time we lasted here on Earth will have been minuscule in the grand scheme of things. And instead of the earthly monuments that you may imagine will be our legacy, in fact, the longest-lasting monuments may be a ring of dead spacecraft orbiting 24,000 miles above the Earth's surface. And in coming days, the EchoStar 16 satellite will launch a very cool artifact into that perpetual orbit. It's an ultra-archival gold disk designed to last billions of years with 100 images etched into it. It's the latest public art project by artist Trevor Paglen, commissioned by Creative Time, the public art organization here in New York. It's called The Last Pictures. And Trevor Paglen is here in the studio with me to discuss how he chose those 100 images and how in the world you make something that will last billions of years. Trevor, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
And listeners, again, we have a slideshow of about 20 of these images that Trevor chose that are actually going to go into space with the intent of them lasting nearly forever. So you can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to see these 20 images. And Trevor, while people are making their way there, and before we talk about the actual shots, this is not the first time we've shot things into space in an attempt to define humanity in some way to whoever might be out there. Hardly. In 1977, for example, Carl Sagan's Golden Records were sent to outer space. How is this different for them than something like that?
The golden records that Carl Sagan placed aboard the Voyager spacecraft, and before that the Pioneer spacecraft, the PLAX, were very earnest attempts to communicate with aliens. They were postcards that were placed aboard these spacecraft with the idea that if an alien civilization ever found them, there would be a sort of hello from Earth. They have a very hallmark card quality to them. They portray a kind of multicultural utopia. You know, they, as Carl Sagan said about the Golden Record, we wanted to put our best face forward. This project is, as you know, quite a bit different in the sense that it's not going anywhere. It will circle around the Earth in perpetuity for billions of years until the Earth really is no more. And it's much more, it's not so much a hallmark card from humanity. It's not meant to describe what human life was all about. It's a little bit more somber, a little bit more melancholic. It's trying to struggle with a moment of uncertainty that that these spacecraft actually come out of.
Is it one artist's vision, yours, or is it really a public art project in the usual sense of that word?
Yes. Well, the project is commissioned by Creative Time, which is a public arts organization in New York City that, you know, funds, you know, very ambitious art projects. And as I started to think about the idea of marking one of these spacecraft as a monument, as a kind of, you know, I don't think about it exactly as a time capsule, but something like that, I thought, you know, I can't do this myself. This is something, I'm not going to sit here in the studio and figure out what this should be. So I spent years interviewing scientists, anthropologists, biologists, philosophers, artists, kind of trying to come to, trying to think about what some of these images might be, what this message to the distant future might be. I also ran a research group at Creative Time where we spent the better part of a year just thinking through what this project might mean.
And we should mention that there is a related book out called The Last Pictures. And again, if you want to see some of the images, we have a 20-photo slideshow on our page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And we noticed that many of them seem to be weather-related. So we see a typhoon in Japan, a water spout in Florida, and others seem to be about humanity's effect on the natural world, a dust storm in Texas, a melting glacier in Montana, arguably affected by humans. There's also a bug with legs coming out of its face where eyes should be. Folks, you don't have to look at that one if you don't want. So what was your guiding principles for choosing these images?
There's about three different narratives or themes going on in the project. On one hand, we spend a lot of time thinking about what are some of the phenomena that characterize the contemporary moment in terms of technology, you know, whether that is, you know, building rockets and building spacecraft, or whether that's doing things like genetic engineering, as well as looking at transformations that humans have made to the Earth's surface and things like mining, climate change, what have you. Other images are simply more poetic. There's one that's a ship going through the Suez Canal, cherry blossoms. There are several intellectual themes, but there are also a number of poetic and motivic themes. One of the themes is a wave, for example.
There are also lots of images of uniquely human pursuits, a rocket launch in Kazakhstan, the view from a Predator drone, the Moscow World's Fair, and you put them in a particular order for a reason, I gather.
Absolutely. I think when we started the project, we were conceiving of it as a kind of an archive, almost like a, you know, like a database of images. But as the project evolved, we realized that we were going to be able to, for technical reasons, have a much smaller number of images than we'd initially imagined. And as we worked with the images, I think we learned a lot about images and the ways that images can work to tell a very impressionistic story, but are not so good at making a kind of argument. And so over the course of the project, I think we initially conceived of it as an archive, and it evolved into a kind of silent film or a kind of poem.
And are you trying to communicate with someone? You talked about Carl Sagan's 1977 launch of images, having the idea that some aliens out there someday will see them and learn something about what human life was like or could be like on Earth. Is your point to communicate with anyone at any time?
That's an open question. I personally don't think that this object will ever be found by aliens in the future or, you know, giant squid that may evolve a billion years from now. But we do obviously have a guaranteed audience here and now. So in one way, the project and the book is a way to frame a series of questions about the contemporary moment. But at the same time, one of the things that we looked at a lot was we tried to imagine if there's any artifacts we have in the present moment that might be analogous to somebody finding this a billion years from now. And the closest thing we found, of course, is cave paintings. So we started really thinking about what we're doing is creating cave paintings for the future. And what do cave paintings tell us? Well, on one hand, they tell us an enormous amount. At the same time, it's not exactly clear. There's an enormous amount of debate because, of course, they don't talk back.
Speaking of cave enthusiasts, I see you had a conversation last week with Werner Herzog as part of the launch of this project. And apparently he wanted your images to come with captions, but they don't on the disc. Why not?
They don't come with captions. Again, there's several texts, and one of the texts or narratives is simply looking at a montage of images. What kind of what impressions does that create? In the book, there's a section of the book that has all of the images and has, in some cases, rather long text explaining what they are. And for me, that is it's just another layer to the story. And sometimes the texts, you know, mean almost the opposite of what the image looks like. And so it's a very interesting commentary on images themselves as well.
And I presume you didn't include music or sound of any kind because there's not really sound in space?
There's not sound in space, but a lot of it came down to technical requirements. I was fortunate enough to be invited to be a visiting artist at MIT, and the project that I brought to them was to think about how do we make this real? How do we make this archival for 5 billion years? We need to make some very, very stable materials here. And I ended up working with material scientists there who specialize in nano-etching and nanotechnology. And there was a couple of trade-offs that we had to make. I wanted to create something that was not encoded in any way. So you just looked at it, that's what it was. And so what we ended up with is probably closest to a microfiche, if you remember those old microfiches at the library. So very, very small images. You can look at them in a microscope and they open up.
I remember them unfondly. I'll take Google any day. But on the technology, talk a little bit about the gold disc itself. You worked with scientists at MIT, as you said, to design your what you call ultra-archival gold silicon disc. So cool. Does this technology break new ground?
I'm not sure that the technology breaks new ground. However, it is very contemporary. We use machines that they were using for other purposes at MIT. They were used these machines that we used to build nanocircuitry, to build very, very fine electronics, not to make images. So we had to do some technical things to repurpose them to use images. But when I came to them, I brought examples of things like the Carl Sagan's Golden Record, other examples of very archival materials, and they kind of threw out those ideas and said we needed something that had a very stable atomic structure. And so they proposed a way of doing this with silicon.
And your gold disc goes to space soon, November 20th? Is that the
date?
Yeah.
Well, the rocket launches are, of course, a moving target. We were supposed to go up a few weeks ago, but there was a problem with one of the parts on the rocket, which is being replaced. I believe the new date is November.
And it's hitching a ride on an EchoStar satellite, and it will join the orbit of the perpetually orbiting spacecraft that live 24,000 miles above the Earth in kind of Saturn-like rings, but made of machines. And these things exist in outer space, but also, you say, in outer time. What's outer time?
What I mean by that is that these spacecraft, and communication spacecraft in particular, are probably the longest lasting things that humans have ever made by virtue of where they are. You know, they're in space. Nothing is going to happen to them. And when we think about what that means, billions of years, these are time frames that are really utterly alien to human experience. We can't conceive of that. And so in that sense, we're putting it in an alien frame of time.
Artist Trevor Paglen, his images are going into space, hopefully on November 20th. He's got a book of the images that he's sending up there called The Last Pictures, and we've got a slideshow on our page of 20 of them at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me.